welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, Rob and Scott review a premium wine from Uruguay, namely the Bodega Buza Vindejo Pan de Azúcar Tana. So sit back, relax, enjoy tonight's Wine Vault. Welcome, everybody, to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy, and tonight, I am joined by Scott, the licensed taxi driver.
Don't call me Maldonado tonight, sir.
I was going to call you a douchebag, but...
Well, why would that differentiate this episode from any other episode? You're so...
It's because I don't necessarily...
You're so wrong.
Taint boy. I was going to call you that. I don't even know why. That's a new name. I'm going to use that for you. I've got some names for you, Scott. By the way, the Triple B is not on and is not in the house tonight, so I can't be yelled at for being too loud. Apparently, my voice carries.
Apparently, you don't understand that you can still be yelled at.
She said the children in the house can hear everything Wilford says. And then so Rob the Wine Guy says, well, that's in a character. It doesn't count. She goes, you say all sorts of horrible things as Wilford. And he says, no, it's a different person. It's not me. It's a character. He did not win that discussion, whether it be, you know, factually or morally
or
spiritually or tactfully.
Not a person that had a discussion.
I think he made himself look like a moron, too, by having the discussion.
Oh, no.
Yeah. It's like if you make a stupid voice and still say obscene things in front of your children, it's still as bad, maybe worse.
It probably is worse.
Yes.
But, you know, the social worker, you know, their opinion doesn't matter.
No. They said that in court. And
until they talk to
that.
The judge.
That's right. And he's like, what?
Wilfred's going to talk to the judge?
Oh, yes.
Wilfred's going
to. First thing, you know what I ask him? Are you wearing anything under your robe? Your Honor. That's what I say.
Your Honor.
Your Honor. You have to show respect.
You had to show respect.
You do. You know? And I say in all due respect.
In all due respect.
Are you wearing anything under your robe, Your Honor? Double respect. It cancels out the middle part, I think.
You know, I think a certain ex-president needs to take your leadership in legal strategies, Wilfred.
Jimmy Carter?
Yes.
Okay.
Jimmy's in trouble.
Is he?
He's dead.
Well, no, he's not. He's not dead yet.
Well,
he's very much close to being dead.
Very
but he's
close.
Not dead.
It's very close.
Yeah, Ronald Reagan is dead.
Is George
Bush Sr. is dead.
Is he?
Very. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
What about Junior?
Junior? No, he's alive. He paints. Did you know that?
George paints now.
He
does. He?
You don't know this, do you?
I don't.
He's a good painter. Well, he's a very average painter.
I wonder if.
What?
Donnie paints.
Yes, he does.
Does he?
Yes, with whipped cream on strippers.
On his hair.
Yes, and he paints with cocaine on strippers. It always involves
that's
strippers.
That's Donnie Jr.
No, that's both.
I'm talking about Dum Dum.
No, yeah. Donnie Jr. What do you mean, Eric? Or Donnie? Because Eric, he does finger paint real, like kids. Yeah. Doesn't Donald Jr. have that ugly girlfriend?
Yes.
Oh, good God. She's horrible. Oh, she was on the Fox News, wasn't she?
Well,
yeah.
I think the whole family goes
broke
on
many
that.
A camera. That one did. Oh my gosh, her and her black cat. Yeah, she's a witch, is what I'm saying.
Oh,
yeah, that's a funny one.
Not really.
It's called a zinger, Scott.
A zinger.
Yeah.
Zinger.
Yes, not the teaser. You know what the teaser is? It's a fourth finger, right up your ass. That's the teaser.
And up around the corner.
Oh, you don't know. Well, if you twisted it, that wouldn't be the teaser. Then that would be the pleaser. So you just stick it in. That's the teaser. So
anyway. Do we do a wine show?
Yes, I know. Scott.
Do you?
You got off track there.
I did?
You were talking to Wilford. Don't talk to him. If you engage him, he'll keep talking. That's how that works.
Well.
You know?
He has latitude without the triple B in the house.
I know. You're going to hear a lot of him. You ask Wilford a question. Oh, my gosh. That's the worst thing you could ever do. So, on tonight's show, folks, we are drinking...
No more questions from Wilford?
You have some questions for me? What do you want to know? What am I wearing? Nothing. Completely naked.
Jesus.
I know. You want me to stand up? I'll salute you.
Anyway, on tonight's show, we have a wine from Uruguay. Now, Scott was given this wine as a gift.
As a gift.
Now, normally people give people cheap wines, but this person, apparently Scott has a very good relationship with.
Nice.
Because
nice person.
This is Bodegas Buzon, and their tenant, but it's from Maldonado, which is on the southern portion of Uruguay, on the water, more coastal, and Pan de Azucar is the actual area that it's from. It's interesting the fact that this is around $50, so most people say Uruguayan wines, I mean, those aren't good. In fact, they are.
Yes, they are.
One reason why, European colonization, okay, the French, they came, they imparted their wine culture in these areas. And so down the road, you see these wines just blossom and groom. Currently, in the United States, I think there's about like 38,000 cases of wines from Uruguay imported. I think in 2019, that was the number. That's a very small drop in the bucket. But it's a very important drop in the bucket because Uruguay makes great wines.
Yep.
We've had ones from Gazon before, and this is one of the other big producers. Bodegas Buzon. This particular wine, I think there's 466 cases produced. Very, very low production. So the fact that she bought it, though, down there, didn't she?
My friend imported it.
She imported
it. Over the holidays. She brought it back. I guess you'd say she exported it from Uruguay to the United States.
She's a bootlegger.
No.
No, she flew it in with it.
She flew in with it.
Yes. So she brought it straight from there.
Yes.
It can be bought in the United States. The importer is the Elixir Wine Group. I've not seen it in stores, but in your bigger markets or some specialty wine shops,
right?
You might be able to find this. I'm sure that whatever state you're in, it is imported by, it is distributed by somebody. You might have to order it. You might have to wait because it's very, very low production. But we haven't tried it yet, so maybe you don't want to wait. It is 100% tannin, and we have had tannin on the show before, but once or twice mainly. Honestly, my experiences with tannin have been more domestically grown wines from like Virginia. So when you're in Virginia, you're like, oh, they have a tannin. Okay, I'll drink that. Partly because California doesn't really feature it very much.
I had a French tannin.
Yeah.
Single varietal.
Mm-hmm.
At the old that wine shop where you could get it with the cards.
Well, the tastings.
Tastings, mm-hmm. It was called, right.
Mm-hmm.
It was delicious. It was fantastic.
Tannin. Sorry, I have salami in my mouth.
What?
Anyway, tannin is a full-bodied red wine. Very rich. But apart from like California wines, like a Cabernet or something like that, it's a little smokier. Black currant really is the focus of the wine itself too, but plum, licorice, but smoke. You're going to see smoke and you're going to see a big, 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 big wine. It's full, it should be full-bodied. This one, probably, since it's from Uruguay, is going to remind us of a big, huge Malbec. That's how often this wine comes across. It is 100% tannin. That's one thing. And 13 months on French oak. Oh, I'm sorry. 13 months on French and Caucasian oak barrels.
Who?
Caucasian.
What?
White oak barrels.
Okay.
They call it Caucasian. I'm not being cute. It's called white.
Oh, well, you're not cute.
Well, I know. And the winemaker is Dr. Eduardo Bodio. That's right.
Okay.
I'm just telling you. It's not Alison Krauss, so it's good. You know, it's just... You know, you don't want Alison Krauss. Imagine her if she went down to Uruguay. I would like her to go like to the Amazon, maybe into one of those parts that's undiscovered, and be kidnapped by a local, you know, tribe and never seen from again. Not that I have something personally against her, but obviously I do. This winery, though, itself was established in 2000, and it was established by Juan and Eliza Buza.
Okay.
And the winery was originally built in the 1940s by Numa Pesquera in the outskirts of something I can't pronounce. Montevideo, I believe, is what it's called.
Yeah, Montevideo is, the, I think, the capital of Uruguay, I believe. I believe.
So the Atlantic Ocean does influence this. So some of the wine areas are very, very inland and more mountainous. This has a more coastal breeze. And it's got rocky soil, so it's well done in that regard, whatever that means. Now, it has good drainage. There's no mention of really any kind of alluvium soils or anything else about the actual terroir of the soil. So they're kind of limited on that. I'm surprised they don't say, you know, it's rocky, it's gravelly, it's got clay, it's got this, it's got that, it's volcanic. None of that stuff is in this, so we don't know. No reviews that we're aware of as well, even though the 19 has some very nice, flattering reviews. The 20, this is the 2020, has not yet been reviewed as far as we know, until, of course, tonight.
Well, esteemed wine reviewers that we are.
It's our tasting panel. Drinking panel.
Tannat. Rob, did you know
what?
That tannat is considered one of the healthiest red wine grapes? Do you know why?
Why?
Because it has much higher levels of antioxidants, like resveratrol.
Oh.
Did you know that tannin is also known as harriac in Uruguay? I'm probably butchering that name.
No, I did not know that.
Tannin is the most planted grape variety in Europe.
I did know that.
Yep.
I did know that. Yep. So, folks, we're going to take a break, and then we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault. Hey everybody, it's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault? Well, do you know the best way to do that? By giving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Whether that be on iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn or Spreaker or Podbean or some other app I've never heard of but probably gave your phone a virus when you downloaded it. So take that time. Give us that review. Give us your thoughts and feedback. That way, everyone will know to listen to, enjoy, and join us on the Wine Vault. And we'll be right back. And we're back, folks. So the 2020 Bodegas Buzon Tannat. And you have to really also state the fact that it's the Pan de Azucar because they have a couple other tannins that are lower end. So not lower end, they're still in their 20s. They don't really make what I would call cheap wine. They have the A6 tannin, which is $51.
Ooh.
They have the Monte Vidieu for $65.
Well.
They said, I might also like that. And they're right, I might also like that. You're right. They also have a base tannin for $27. They have the A8 tannin for $51. And that's it. They have an Albarino. That's $28.
Ooh.
And they have a Riesling for $32. So it's a very strong, good-looking portfolio.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Uruguay, not a huge producer.
No.
But what they make is good. I think the producer that we made was Garzon.
Garzon. One other thing, too. They use modern techniques. You're not out in the backwoods where they're crushing stuff with their feet like they are at natural wines in California. These are modern, cutting-edge wineries. You would go in there, you're like, oh my gosh, is this Bordeaux? It's that level. That's the type of investment that they have in Uruguay. So, yes, it's smaller imports into the United States, but the quality is high. You don't have a lot of misses. They don't make a $6 piece of shit. They don't make that.
No.
I mean, they just don't. So, Garzon is cheaper. It's 20 and below, but it stays in the high teens. That's really a quality wine. So, we're expecting something pretty special from this wine.
Something
tonight,
good. Yeah. Something good.
Also, 16% alcohol for those that like to pass out.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere, Steve is clapping his hands.
You know, one thing I found out, the Kirkland 10-year tawny is still very good. And I sent you a picture of the bottle.
You did?
Becky was at a baseball game that night with one of our kids, and so didn't get home until like 9:45, and she walks in, she goes, "Oh, ho, drinking port." And she walks up, and she swirls the glass, she whirls the bottle. She goes, "Did you drink 3/4 of this bottle?" I went, "Yes."
or you actually went, "Yes."
And I said, "Did you bring my mozzarella sticks?" <That's>
Hey, no.
I was mozzarella stick drunk, folks. That tells you. And then I finished it. And I'm sitting there on the couch, and we turned on Friday, the movie.
Friday.
And so she goes, "Put your glass down." "Why?" "You're about to pass out. I don't want you to break it." So I did, and I did. I didn't break anything. I put it down, and I passed out. And then I woke up at 5 in the morning, still sitting there. It's going well.
It's going well.
I don't have a problem. So
no.
No. Jesus. In the glass, this wine looks really nice.
Looks the part.
There are some particulate, but that's not to be that's to be expected for
tartaric
this
acid crystalline structures. Just a demonstration of the acidity in the wine typically. Mm-hmm. It can be other things. There's a lot of deposition of the crystal structures in this glass.
The legs are very well defined.
It's a beauty.
It's a beautiful legs. Matter of fact, often you don't see the whole glass, the whole rim of the glass painted and legs going down the whole thing. This wine does that in a glory. It's almost like the Niagara Falls of legs. They are fast, but it is gorgeous. In the glass, it is dense. There is no translucence to this wine. It's a deep, deep, dark crimson, just a touch of blackness to it, too. Very, very beautiful in the glass. On the nose. And we're using the Grand Bordeaux glasses. For Tannet, the best glass to use is some sort of oversized Bordeaux wine glass. And this is the most oversized Bordeaux glass you can find. Yeah,
well, you know, unless you had a bucket.
The bucket, yes.
The Bordeaux bucket.
On the nose.
Just a... I guess there's a floral element there, but it's really just mentholated alcohol.
There is. There's also a little bit of a stocky rhubarb in there.
Yeah. Like a floral flower lavender thing, maybe.
There's also maybe a blueberry in there.
The nose is fine.
It's, I mean, it's aromatic. It's just, it doesn't have a lot of complexity to it. It's a little bit tied to the mentholated alcohol.
It really is. But it's 16% alcohol. So you'd expect the nose to be.
There might be a sweet blackberry in there, too.
Alcoholic in nature. Mm-hmm. It really is huge. The legs really are huge on this.
Mm-hmm. Let's go in. Christ.
Meaty.
Extremely concentrated. It's extremely concentrated. I think that we... Check the bottle, Scott. Are we supposed to add a cup of water to this? I mean, it is...
Did you cut it? You cut it with something?
It's intensely rich. Decadent, almost. Still very, very dry. It doesn't have a residual sugar element to it. But the weight and the grip of this wine... come across as decadent, like a massive, rich Malbec in a lot of respects. But what it has that Malbecs don't have is A, it's better, but B, it has a smoky background that has a little bit of cayenne heat that just kind of lingers in the end. The oak is prominent, but it's not out of balance.
No, not at all.
But this is a very, very big, strong wine. Strong wine.
And texturally, it has a creaminess that's beyond creamy. It's almost... Just the density of this wine comes across as almost... It's not fair to use this descriptor, but I don't have anything else. A little towards syrupy. Well, the density is just it's so
very dense. But it's not medicinal.
No, and syrupy comes across wrong.
Yeah,
it's just so
concentrated. I think is the best way to say it.
Maybe, mm-hmm. But for me, I think this is dense. But, you know, a lot of times when I think of wines that are dense, they come across as jammy. This is not that.
Or ridiculously tannic.
And this is not that. No. Now, this has a great tannic backbone.
It does.
But
in a mouthfeel sense, that's where it's very dense and rich.
Yes.
Almost like Black Forest cake rich.
It's rich in the way fudge is rich.
Yeah. Yeah, without being sweet. The darkest chocolate fudge that you could find
We talk about mouthfeel, and some of the denser wines regarding mouthfeel we would describe as creamy, heavy dairy feel.
Yeah.
This is beyond that.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, this is one of the denser wines we've had on the show, period.
But if you don't draw too much air... And you just let the wine sing a little bit. Oh, is it a luxurious experience on the palate? Oh, that dark chocolate and...
I think that's the word that in...
Plum.
Describes this mouthfeel. Mm-hmm. Luxurious.
Black currant. Not cassis, but yeah. It's the stereotype of tannin. But... done on a scale that is pretty exciting.
This wine's fucking amazing.
This wine is great. The thing is, under $50, if you found it for $44, $45, hell yes, you should be buying some of this. You should, because it is luxurious. You don't find this kind of luxury in California under $50. I mean, we've had some good wines, mind you, but this kind of mouthfeel and weight, oh no, you don't find that. And it's the flavor profile is familiar yet exotically different, too. So the smokiness is not something that you would find you know, commonly. It doesn't. You're not going to think it's Syrah.
No.
You're not going to think it's, you know, it's not Pinotage. Pinotage is too funky and quirky. This isn't quirky.
I think when people say, I like Malbecs. This is what people want Malbecs to be.
Well, Malbecs can be somewhat like this in the upper ranges. I mean, like the Vaglio that we had that one time, that's not to this level, but it's a big Malbec. It's a big wine.
This is what Malbecs want to be.
Yeah, I think that I've never had a $100 Malbec, but they make them, and I'm assuming that they would be in this range. But then again, we had like the La Postole Close Apalta,
yeah,
which is like $160. Isn't that Carmenier? I think it's mostly Carmenier.
Mostly Carmenier.
The bottle's still there. We didn't care for that much. It's that fine. Did not impress us.
It was fine.
It was fine, but it was $100 and some a bottle.
Allegedly.
No, in reality.
Well.
This is so much better than that.
This is so much better than so much of everything that we've done on the show.
I mean, this is so much better than those wines.
This is...
Is your friend going back to Uruguay anytime soon? I'm just saying. Asking for a friend. Me. I'm asking for me.
It's freaking fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And... you're supposed to be able to age this, too.
Yeah. I think you should, the 3 to 5 years. I don't have as much experience with Tannat to know how it, you know, kind of evolves, but I could see this wine, just if it leaned out just a little bit, it would be a real stunner, which is strange. You don't normally say that about a wine, but just give itself a little more time to breathe, you're going to see something really great.
Yeah. Wine Folly, she says, cellar 10 plus years. It's, and I think as this aged and would naturally lean out a little bit, I think some complexity in the fruit might come out.
Yeah, and I think you're going to notice, because you can see little pops and winks on the finish of different fruit that's there. You're going to see more and more. I think the plum is going to suss itself out more.
And I think maybe a little blueberry pop.
Yeah, no, yeah. Blueberry preserves.
This is freaking delicious.
Mm-hmm. All right.
I'm trying to think what food wise, what would I pair this with?
That's what I was going to say.
It's almost like I don't want to have food with this. I just want to enjoy this wine. You know, it's just like, no, I don't want to. I want to just have this wine.
Yeah.
I suppose
if you were forced,
I would go some kind of rich, you know, slow cooked meat with like a rich sauce.
Uh-huh. It's you're going to get gout, but the Tops 60-day dry age ribeye with the Stilton on top. This would do well with that. And I mean, that is about as decadent as you're going to find.
Yeah.
But this would do well with that. I mean,
I wouldn't want to have food with this.
But
maybe just like what we're doing here, little finger foods. But I wouldn't want anything to get in the way of this experience.
A wonderfully top level filet with, once again, some sort of strong cheese sauce, like a blue cheese topping. Stilton. This would do well with Stilton, first of all.
Just plain with blue cheese.
Yeah. But, you know, blue cheese is always better with something else. So this would do well with any type of steak or chop with Stilton. You know? Oh, with a side of herb mushrooms. Oof.
Oh.
Yeah, this would do well with that. Mm. Yeah. What it wouldn't do well with, they don't eat it with chicken. Don't eat it with pizza. Don't do that. Well, pizza. You get a really delicious, like, top-of-line, stone-fire oven pizza with fresh Roma tomatoes and great, great Italian sausage and all that good stuff, fresh, beautiful herbs and the best of the best. The best you can imagine it being, this would be okay with that. It has to be the best. You know what I'm saying? Everything that we're discussing has to be at its peak form for food. Normally, it's the other way around. But this wine demands the peak of food.
This is so good.
Yeah. It's pretty good.
And just, you don't have to draw air over this, but just to quaff it. It's lengthy. It's just a lengthy sumbitch.
Let me say this. We've had other wines that kind of go down this path a little bit, but then they stray off into something that you don't enjoy. I can think of, there's a lot of different Spanish Grenaches that we've had that the front palate has a little bit of the same characteristics as this. I remember Anciano was one where it started off that very, the dense fruit up front reminds me a little of this. But what Anciano then decided to do was turn into a boozy mess on the finish. And you didn't want to drink it. You don't want to drink something that makes you feel like you're going to have a hangover the next day. And that wine did. This wine does not do that.
No.
And I think it's more along the lines of just refined techniques, you know, better grape stock, better everything. So you can have, I think, with maybe lesser grapes, a little bit of that quasi-jazzy, ripe, dense fruit up front, mixed in with some floral elements and spices. But it's to seal the deal, you need to have the best of the best on the back end to make it work. That's where your slip will show on the back end if you don't have the real chops, the real stuff to do what you need to do.
Skirt's just a little too short otherwise.
Just a little too short, and you're like, oh, you're going to look over at that in the morning and say, what did I do?
Your pants are hanging down a little too low, and there's some butt cracks showing.
Yep. Well, with Anciano, your whole ass was showing.
Yeah, well.
There's a few other ones, too, but they're always Spanish.
This one's ass not showing.
No, it's not.
16% alcohol. It does not come across as boozy.
It doesn't. It's weighty, but not boozy.
That weight, that density encapsulates that alcohol content just fine.
And boozy, normally, if you have some sort of a mild residual sugar finish, that's where we're coming across. It gets to be a little bit medicinal. That's what we mean by boozy. You know, it has a bit of a daiquiri finish. You know, like
Here's the technical definition of boozy.
Yeah. Well, how do those other wines get that weight and density, Scott?
Residual sugar.
That's how they do it.
Not this one.
It doesn't show until the finish. So now they're not sweet necessarily, but that's what that is. And guess what makes you have a hangover?
Obviously, residual sugars.
Yeah.
The density of this on the palate with the... It is astringent. The finish on this finishes on the roof of your palate. The roof of your mouth. Not on the tongue. It finishes around your mouth. It's really interesting in that way.
Oh, yes.
Physically, this wine expresses differently. Mm-hmm. Unique in so many ways.
Oh, yeah.
16% alcohol. I'm sure we are going to have a bottle of this, aren't we? It's going to kick your ass, but it doesn't taste of that. It just is so rich.
Strangely enough, though, I do not know that we'll be able to finish this wine or this decanter during this show. Because even me, this is dense enough that I am not open the hatch, you know? I mean, I'm not. And I am an open the hatch kind of guy. Not like Becky. She's drunk, but open the
hatch. Not like Becky.
Well, no. Yeah. I had a half bottle of Kimmy Crawford chilling for her last night. So she drank some of that.
But yet you had a whole bottle of 10-year tiny port.
Oh, fuck yes, I did.
By yourself. But Becky's open the hatch.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Sure she is.
And port glasses are little. So you're refilling that sumbitch quite a bit. But I did have mozzarella sticks, so that helps. You know what I had for dinner?
Mozzarella sticks?
No, I had one of those Borson things. This little thing with the little toast points.
Did you even have the toast points, or did you just like...
That's so just like we're like gross.
That just dipping says, your fingers in. Borson's like a soft cheese.
Just
like
right, yeah, we have the tonight. Aldi knockoff here tonight. But it tastes the same. Yeah, it's a soft cheese spread. You folks know what it is. It's probably not great for you, but that's what I ate. I was going to grill, but I didn't, so...
Rob's into the 10-year tawny port and only had 6 toast points on the plate, which he inhaled immediately, and
there's I just ate
half a slug of the Borson cheese, and he just starts putting his 3 fingers together and just kind of using them as a spreading tool to deliver the cheese to his tongue.
Basically. I think that's probably what it was. It's cream cheese.
He still has the herbs from the crusted cheese in his fingernails.
That's a little bit too descriptive. Thank you.
Well, what's that brown stuff on your fingernail there?
Shit. It was the teaser. Hit it all the way up to the knuckles, Scott. Yeah.
Up and around the corner.
Mm. No. That's disgusting. Nevertheless.
I'm not going with crusted cheese on my fingernails.
I know. Well, that's both are really, really disgusting. So, folks, we're going to take a break. But then we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault. We're back, folks. So in tonight's potpourri, we are going to start off with Pool Watch.
Potpourri, not postpourri?
No.
It's not postpourri?
Hey, Scott.
Hey, Wilfred.
When are we going swimming in your fucking pool, asshole?
Never, you asswipe.
How's it looking? You got a hole still there?
There's a pond. I've got a pond for you,
You've
Wilfred.
Got a dry hole, don't you? How about all that dirt? Did they move that dirt yet?
Yeah, I'll move the dirt.
I mean, do they have a pool in there? Can you swim? If it rains a lot, can you run around and put on some goggles and jump in there with your flippers on?
Here comes the rain again.
I mean, does it look anything like a pool, Scott?
There's walls.
Walls?
There's walls.
Concrete?
There's a pump.
There's a pump?
There's a pool heater.
Really?
Yes.
Anything else?
There's a ladder.
A ladder?
There's a ladder built into the walls.
Not a pool ladder. An actual ladder?
Oh, we've got those too.
Oh, that's nice.
Part of the construction process.
Wow. That's a great job, Scott. You hired some great guys there.
Great, allegedly.
Did they cash your check yet that you gave? You gave them $100 a check for $100, didn't you?
Yeah.
No, that was the people that all died. Yeah. Good choice.
Well.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why it's not finished. No, they're actually alive.
Are they?
Allegedly.
Maybe you should kill one or two of them just to get your point across. Well, then you can bury them under the dirt you've got there.
Maybe that's why they haven't been showing up, because Princess got her hands around and wrung their neck.
Could be. She killed them.
She's capable.
Yeah, you put them in the hole. You've already got a mass grave there. Just put the dirt you've already got there. Rob the Wine Guy has a backhoe, so you can just push. Wait, no, he has one. You can push all the dirt in there for you. It'd be great.
Yeah, but the tires are flat. We have to have an air pump.
There's two. He has two backhoes. The other one is a little more useful.
Is it?
It's a front-end loader, yes. It's quite easy to use.
Is it?
A 10-year-old could use it, literally. Yes. So you could kill all the pool guys and...
With a backhoe.
Yes. Well, no, you would kill them however you chose, Scott.
Oh.
You could do it like Saul and make, like, traps for them.
Saul.
One of them could be killed by an honest day's work.
Oh, Lord.
I know, Scott. You know what you should have done from the beginning? Hired Mexicans. You know why? Because they fucking work. That's why. You hired Americans. Lazy, no good Americans.
You're so stereotypical.
I think that any stereotypes that are negative involving your pool guys are accurate.
Well.
That's true. You're a dipshit, Scott, but that's okay.
Well.
That's when Rob the Wine Guy said, yeah, I'll use Scott's mechanic. The Triple B was quite negative. She's like, Scott's a moron. He goes... That's true, but that's not really the point.
And how'd that work out, though?
No, he's an excellent mechanic.
See?
Yeah.
See?
But Rob really thought about that for a second. Then he went, that's just being negative. You want to buy a pool? At least you got this one really cheap, didn't you?
Yeah.
No.
Relatively speaking.
If you're paying them by the month, you got it cheap.
Ooh.
Yeah.
When
they start?
Well, that's a good question.
August.
When will
it?
They start?
Yeah, yes, right.
When will they start?
In reality, Scott, if somebody went out there with a spoon and dug it with a spoon, well, they could probably have been at the same point, maybe further by now.
It's not even digging with a spoon. It's like if you took a spoon and filled a Subway beverage cup, not even the large one, the medium-sized one. And you took a mound of dirt away every day in the medium-sized Subway cup using a spoon to fill it. the dirt that's in our backyard would be gone by now.
In fairness, Scott, if a blind man with no arms was hired, you would have had the same amount of pool time at this point as you would have with the blind man with no arms. So,
well, he has arms. He doesn't have any legs.
Well, either way.
The pool guy I'm talking about.
If you hired a giraffe to put in a pool, a literal giraffe.
A giraffe.
A, it would be cheaper. B.
A giraffe are very high.
You don't buy the giraffe. You're hiring the giraffe. Not for what Steve Gibson does. I mean,
he likes giraffe, doesn't he?
He wants to. Well, anyway.
He really likes giraffes.
He has a thing for giraffes. That's what I've been told.
Albino giraffes, I think. Without the spots.
Oh, I didn't know there was such a thing.
Oh, wow. Well, tie in.
I'm not an aficionado of perverted things to do with giraffes, so whatever.
There's something new every day that we learn about you, Wilfred.
That's true. I know. I'm clean in some areas.
What would those areas be?
The giraffes. That's it.
That's it.
Yes. Don't ask me about wildebeests.
Wildebeests.
Oh, no. This is the name.
Wildebeest.
Just the name gets me hard. I don't know why. Wildebeest. Oh, I got a semi. Oh, it's nice.
Yes. So that was Pool Watch, folks. And Wilfred.
Thank you very much, by the way.
On tonight's potpourri.
I thought that was it.
No, it wasn't. Scott. Tell me your perfect setting. Your perfect food and your perfect wine. Setting, food, wine.
What are we trying to accomplish here? There's different scenarios. Are we on vacation? Is this the end of a hard work week? Are you with your special friend and, you know...
That brought you wine back from Uruguay? Yeah. If I were Deb, I'd be suspicious. Although, knowing you, she needs not be suspicious. But that's okay. No. If you could be in any setting, with any food, with any wine, those three things, how would you combine them? Oh, shit. Almost knocked that over.
I'll give you some multiple scenarios. It's the end of a work week. Let's say it's midsummer. Okay. It's been a balmy work week. Except suddenly Friday, there's a nice cool breeze.
Okay.
The temperature's actually dropping. Overnight it's gonna be in the 50s.
Okay.
But as the sun sets, you're headed towards low 70s into the 60s. And you had the foresight to order from your friend Frank Scali two orders of beef brujol, which you allowed to cool to room temperature, i.e. outside temperature, and you've got them set up on a cutting board.
Okay.
And you slice them on the bias, quarter inch pinwheel slices.
Okay.
Which you're going to layer in the red sauce. And then you're going to pick your turley. Any turley.
You have to pick the wine specifically.
No. Pick a turley. They all go.
Marietta Cellars Lot 73.
No,
I'm gonna do it cheaper. I just got three more bottles of that. Just to
It's fucking fantastic.
You know how that happens? It just showed up.
But you know, Howl Mountain, Turley, Howl Mountain, campfire, cool summer evening, sunset, 70s, headed for 60s, headed for 50s, a couple bottles, a couple pinwheels of Brujol. Maybe some crusty Italian bread. How about that? That's a pretty good setting right there, sir.
I am at a Parisian or French style bistro.
First of all, they would never let you in there. They're like, rob the wine guy, get the fuck out.
Well, anyway, I'm there. But I'm out on the sidewalk. More like on the cafe seating. So you're outdoor seating, right?
Like I said, they're not going to let you in.
I've been. And we're talking old school French bistro. I went to one in Vermont. It was heaven.
A French bistro
In Vermont. Okay. I sent you pictures.
Yeah.
It's marvelous. And then food-wise, you're having some pate, maybe some steak frites.
Okay.
And then the wine. What are you doing, French? You're doing French wine. But I'm going to... We're going to be economical. Mind you, I'm not going to say...
Economical? Not economical?
Economical.
Okay.
Yeah.
Eeky.
Because it involves my ego.
Egonomical?
We're not going to go like Pomme-Canet or something stupid like that. I'm going to say...
You're
going to
go wrong.
I'm going to be... I'm going to be lucky in the fact that they have Mikkel Chapoutier's Aqueledum.
Okay.
On the menu from Languedoc.
Okay.
And I'm going to enjoy myself. Ooh, what did they just bring? Sauteed mushrooms.
Did they?
They just did that. Oh, my gosh. You have beef tartare with a quail egg? Oh, that's nice.
That's nice. I think you're at the Avenue in Grandview.
Yeah. I mean, I like the Avenue, but it's not French. It's just the illusion of French. Just to pretend French.
Okay.
It's Frenchy a little bit. Oh. That would be, because I remember when at the one in Vermont, I was there with my children naturally, but I got a glass of some sort of Merlot based Bordeaux. I don't recall what it was. And I had gone to the restroom and I came back and Becky had already taken the liberty of ordering beef tartare for me. No quail like them.
Damn it.
And that was a really good restaurant too. I don't really like Vermont very much, but I like that. So
what's wrong with Vermont?
I don't know. Just wasn't for me. Just wasn't for me.
I'm pretty sure.
It's pretty.
It wasn't that Vermont wasn't for you. You weren't for Vermont when you crossed the border and they said, please, sir, never return.
In fairness, it wasn't for me because I just spent several days in Maine.
Stop doing bad wine reviewer impersonations. We're not impressed with you or Wilford Wong.
You were impressed with my Wong? Wilford's Wong? Yes, you were.
Not in Vermont.
Well, no. We were in Illinois at the Red Roof Inn. It was nice.
Oh, that was a quality inn.
It wasn't La Quinta, I know that.
Because that's next to Chi-Chi's.
That's right. You know, we went and got some fried ice cream afterwards, which I never really understood. It was kind of melted. And I was like, why do you just make it ice? No, I don't want your fucking churros. No. No, I don't want that. No.
Scott, do you remember Bob Evans? Folks, you know Bob Evans. Bob Evans.
Robert Evans.
It's very good. That's actually very funny. It's the funniest thing you've ever said. For a while, that same group, they had a Mexican restaurant.
What the fuck was it called?
I know. It was over there. It was off Hamilton Road in a really weird spot. And it was kind of eclectic looking. Well, we would go there. And the reason why, because they had the best barbecue ribs.
No.
They were fall off the bone. And I was in high school, for Christ's sake, and we always went there for that. I don't remember what it was called, though. It was a good concept, but yeah, we always went there for the ribs. I'm not even a lover of ribs.
Cantina del Rio.
Yes. Their ribs were great.
It was in the mid-90s. But it's a move that founder Bob Evans called a disaster.
It's because he put it in an area that is a disaster.
Well.
No. But the ribs were really good.
And then they had another concept.
Was it Italian?
There
was a weird one. Another one. It was always on Hamilton Road.
Well, there's one in Polaris. Mimi's Cafe.
Oh, I never went there, but I remember.
Well, actually, they bought it. They purchased that. So there you go.
Yeah, but I remember, yeah, Cantina del Rio. We went there several times because of the ribs. So there you go.
Why?
I don't know. I don't really even like ribs, but these were just really disgusting. It tasted like a dead animal carcass, which technically meat is, but, you know, whatever.
Meat, well, it depends whether it's dead or not. Sometimes you fillet things that are alive, and that would be weird, but that's what some people do.
What?
Yeah.
Who?
It's fine cuisine. Oak cuisine.
Count me out of those places, man. I don't need to
Wilfred
be.
Wilfred knows about those places.
I do. They also involve a lot of sex, S&M shit, too. It's fantastic. I was at a restaurant where you sat at this table, right? And then there was a hole in the middle of the table. And then you know what they do? They pop.
That's not a restaurant.
What?
You're ordering something to eat, but it's not a restaurant.
Well, no. A monkey's head pops up and their skull's off. You eat a live monkey's brain in the table. That's not actually a joke, folks. There are places in China that would do that.
India.
I didn't go there. But, no. I went to Thailand. The back alleys. Oh, my. That's fantastic. It only cost $5, but I'm not going to say what it was. No.
It's only $5 every 5 minutes.
You can buy the boarding in Thailand. You can buy a lobster, a whole lobster, and a person for $5. Both, not even. That's a twofer. I didn't even have a coupon.
So. You didn't have a coupon.
No, I tried to find one. I said, "Do you have a coupon where I can buy a person?" That didn't work out well. No, it was in Walmart. Strangely enough,
Walmart.
I was in Birmingham, Alabama. Why I was there, I don't know. I didn't do well in Birmingham.
I can't imagine that
now,
you did.
This show doesn't do well in Birmingham. I don't know why.
Well.
I don't know. Maybe you guys should have your cousins on and make out with them so they'll like you better in Birmingham. I'm just saying.
Actually, that's more of a West Virginia thing.
Well, we're not well received in West Virginia either.
Well.
That's just, a lot of the southern cousin fucking states are just not well liked. Arkansas. Well, fuck Arkansas. Who the hell goes to Arkansas anyway?
Their cousins?
Yeah, so they can make out, apparently. I don't know. You know. Tennessee. I don't know. Nashville's in Tennessee. That's nice.
You know, you've lost all
what?
Food integrity that you ever had. Not that you ever had any.
What?
Because you admitted on air that you used to frequent Cantina Del Rio.
That was Rob the Wine Guy. That wasn't me, Wilfred. I didn't know.
Wilfred, you had no food integrity.
No, I don't have integrity. I don't even know what that was. Does that start with an E? I don't know.
I think it's a mid-sized sedan made by a Japanese auto manufacturer.
I thought it was a spaceship in Star Trek. I don't really know.
Star Trek.
Or Star Wars. I don't know. If there was a wine podcast called Wine Wars, you ever listen to that, Scott?
No, I did not.
That's great.
No, it wasn't.
Three episodes.
Seven.
Seven? Why start a show and then quit?
Because you sucked.
We haven't got the... Yeah, it's true.
We never got the message,
no,
did
we didn't. We should have an angle.
We're still on episode 6, though, so we haven't got the
We're on 363, I think.
But
it's
still...
Or four.
It's still episode 6. We keep starting over. Every 5 shows, we start over.
I don't know.
Maybe we'll get to 6.
Maybe 6.
Maybe we'll
know.
Get to 7.
I wasn't on the earlier episodes, just to put that out.
Yeah, well...
What would you guys talk about then? That was weird.
Not you.
Well, no. Wine, perhaps?
Well, Bob Parker.
Oh.
Bob Barker.
Steve Bodie, I heard.
Steve Bodie.
Fuck that guy. That's right. Yeah.
Well,
that's right. Anyway.
So, folks, since you don't listen to the Potpourri anyway, we're going to take a break. But be right back here on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. So, Scott, I have this very exciting news this week on wine.com.
About K-Tel Records?
No.
The Bob Goulet meets Wilfred Wrong series?
No.
Some enchanted evening.
Yeah.
Wilfred met a stranger. Wilfred met a stranger. Across a crowded room.
First of all, Tuesday was not an enchanted evening, but it's okay.
Wine.com had the 28th Bordeaux available for purchase.
A 28 now.
28th. And it was Chateau Saisonnet, which is a Grand Cru.
Okay.
San Emiliano. I probably pronounced it incorrectly, but and guess what?
First time for everything.
It must have been wine, but it's gone now. I bought two bottles, ordered two bottles, but it's all gone now.
So could you get the two bottles, yes or no?
I don't know. I mean, I suppose so. I mean, I would think so. I put it on order. It should be, yeah, it says it's, you know. But
you got the order confirmation.
Yeah, I did. But it's like 28 bottles of Bordeaux, or 28 different bottles of Bordeaux in fucking Ohio.
In Ohio.
Come on.
Or Ohio.
Come on.
We suck. It's Ohio.
Jesus. Although I will say, on the shelves, when I go into different stores that actually have some Bordeaux,
yes,
it's the exact same things that they have on wine.com. So there must be a pissy distribution right now for Bordeaux. Last year,
Alfredo had more than 28 bottles of Bordeaux.
Well, last year, though, remember how they had that big glut of the high-end stuff that came in? I ordered a few.
Mm-hmm.
That never happened this year.
Well, it's because you ordered too much.
That's true. Apparently one bottle at a time. The Bodegas Buza Tenant.
Vinedo Pandu Azucar.
From
Maldonado.
Do Azucar. What is your numerical score?
First of all, love at first sight. Really not love at first sight. Love the first time my lips met hers and she kissed me, my soul opened with a deep richness that was Tanit. This is no lie. Have we had a richer wine, a more dense, rich mouthfeel than this wine?
Well, I don't know. Recent memory, no. But I can't go back in the annals of... There's been 400 and some different bottles of wine on the show, so...
This is special.
Oh, sure.
Spectacular mouthfeel.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a sucker for mouthfeel. Mm-hmm. I love this wine. I think it does have a degree of ageability.
To a certain degree, yeah.
I can't imagine a bottle of this getting past 5 years for me.
Probably not.
Maybe if I had two cases.
It'd be expensive, but yeah.
But I love this one. I'm going 93 of my points.
93?
93 of my points. Lacks a little bit in complexity. It makes up for an amazing mouthfeel. The way it's treated.
It has complexity. It's just it just needs a little time to suss that out.
It's not the most complex thing we've ever had. That's fine. We've not had the mouthfeel like this. This is next level.
Mm-hmm.
If this is in that class of bottles of wine... If you had choices to make, this is the only bottle of wine I can drink for the rest of my life. And this
right.
was one of the choices.
You'd be all right.
You'd be all right.
Yeah, you'd be all right.
You'd be happy
yeah, you'd
to
fine.
Drink nothing but this
you'd do
for
fine.
The rest
you'd
of your life.
You'd be all right. I would like to drink their less expensive one, too, because I think even though it's lighter, it'd still be very, very interesting and nice.
I would want to try everything that they make.
I'm going to provide this wine 94 of my points because I am a braver, more astute person.
I didn't know
person.
You were going to do this.
Yeah, you thought it was going to be lower than you, didn't you?
No. As soon as you start talking about, oh, he's just going to one-up me.
No, I actually see complexity in there. I see genius in there. But
there's genius in there for sure.
But moreover, it's a often... neglected, ignored varietal. I know it's there, but it's not something that's popular in our stores. It's not really used or done much with in the better wine areas. But when it's done right in these smaller countries, it just sings. this is one of those wines that you need to know what this wine is. You need to know that you need to drink this wine. A tenant from Uruguay. You need to drink Uruguayan wines. I know that there's a bad Uruguayan wine out there, but we have not had it yet. We've probably had, what, four or five wines from Uruguay, I think.
I don't know about that many.
I know we've had two or three from Garzón. Well, maybe three or four.
I don't think that many, but yeah.
Well, I have. You apparently. I think we did at least two for Garzón, because I know I bought two. We did this, and I think there was something else that I did secretly. But every wine we've had tasted special. But this wine tastes way special.
This is way
special. $44, $45. Say it's $45. This wine is a $100 bottle of wine. It is. And it's just something a little bit more than what you normally have during the day. You can't emulate this in Cabernet. I mean, you can have a great Cabernet, mind you, but it won't be this. It won't have this mouthfeel. It won't be quite. I'm not saying this is better. I'm saying this is unique in the way it does what it does.
Yes.
So it's all, you're never going to find a wine that's going to be what this is. You're never going to find something that has quite that smoke, quite that deft use of the oak. And we didn't really talk about the oaking too much.
It was just so well oaked. Other than saying that it had some. It's really, really well oaked.
Yeah.
And that smokiness that Rob's talking about, in my opinion, it's not coming from the oaking. It's not coming from
that. No, no. The tannins are smoky.
It's just part of the varietal. Mm-hmm.
It even is a little bit rustic in a nice way. Everything that I like in wines, this wine is showing. That being said, the flavor profile isn't necessarily my favorite. That's okay, though, because I can recognize something that's gorgeous, even though it isn't necessarily hits on all the notes that I like, because my notes aren't necessarily the correct notes. You know what I mean? My palate isn't the... So I drink a wine. I say, you know what? This wine sings to me. Like Ponet Cane sang. That wine was perfect. Another wine that sang was The Boy by Kay.
Yeah.
That sang. Another one that wine that sings is like the Chateau Laprade. It sings. But this wine, although it doesn't sing like that to me, I know, not Chateau Ponet, not Ponet Cane, that's a different level, but is a wine that deserves acknowledgement and praise at those wines kind of peripheral. It's a great wine by a winery that itself appears to be. We've only had one wine from them, but I think this winery is great. So if you see Chateau Bouzon, you want to buy it. You know, if you have never had tannin, you need to buy some from Uruguay. Seek out wines from Uruguay specifically. And I'm going to start off by saying, tip of the cap to Uruguay.
Yeah.
All right. Because it's a smaller production. I mean, Argentina, Chile, huge wine producers, right? This is minuscule compared to those. But quality? They don't. If it makes it to the United States, do you think they're going to make something that's bad is going to make it to the United States? Probably not. So, Bodegas Bourzon, tip of the cap to you as well. Bravo, 94, Hall of Fame. So,
the only problem with this wine?
What?
We don't have any more of it.
That's true, and it's going to be very, very hard to get. Maybe your cousin can find some.
Buza. Vinedo Pandu Azucar.
And folks, if
Maldonado.
You like this, something off the beaten path. If you want another thing that's off the beaten path, I've mentioned this before, but Tolani, their legit cab. It's getting out of stock very quickly. That is another one that kind of down this line. It's not as good as this, but that's a wine you need to try. There's a lot of wines, and we're going to try over the next several episodes to really zero in on some wines that are off the beaten path, but are great. And we're going to talk about them. We aren't necessarily going to be drinking on the show, but it's wines that we have experienced that we know you should experience as well. So, the Bodegas Bouzon is one of those. So, for Rob the Wine Guy and Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver, we are going to bid you adieu. However, we will see you next time here on the Wine Vault. Good night.